بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continuing our studies the treatise ثلاثة أصول وأدلتها by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Rahimahullah Ta'ala, the three principles and their evidences. In our previous class, we were reading from the statement of the author whenever he was indicating that there will be some questions. And he said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَا الْأُصُولُ الثَّلَاثَةُ مَا الْأُصُولُ الثَّلَاثَةُ أَلَّتِي يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ مَعْرِفَتُهَا. If it is said to you, and we remember that definitely, there's no doubt it will be said to you. Likewise, an individual, he'll be asked in this life and he will be asked in the hereafter. What are the three fundamental principles that it's obligatory for every individual to know? فَقُولْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ that the person, he knows his Lord, وَدِينَ and likewise his religion, وَنَبِيَهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ and his Prophet, Muhammad صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And this portion now, after this, the author, he begins the actual the maqsood and the intent from this treatise, and it is al-usul al-thalatha. And he begins the first asl, which is to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, to know who the Lord is. Ma'rifatu al-Rabbi subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before we begin in this usul, there is an issue we want to discuss that's related to the previous text. And it was from the statement, it's important. As for it was from the statement of the author whenever he mentioned وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدُ وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشِّرْكُ. The greatest thing that Allah has commanded is التوحيد. And we have seen some detailed issues that the ulama have mentioned with regards to التوحيد in previous classes, and this work likewise in القواعد الأربع. And inshallah also whenever we discuss the first issue, the first asr, we will discuss the affairs related to at-tawheed inshallah in detail. Here inshallah we will discuss what is related to the statement of the author, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشِّرْكِ. The greatest thing that he has prohibited is shirk. وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ. And it is to invoke and to call on someone else along with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the greatest prohibition. And it's the first prohibition, just like Tawheed is the first commandment in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first prohibition is the prohibition of a shirk. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it's in Bukhari and in Muslim. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَيُّ الذَّنْبِ أَعْظَمُ. What is the greatest sin? I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the greatest sin? أَيُّ الذَّنْبِ أَعْظَمُ. جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. He said, عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. أَيُّ الذَّنْبِ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. What is the greatest sin with Allah Azza wa Jal? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَنْ تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ. That you make a rival or a peer or a partner or associate in worship with Allah, and He is the one who has created you. And he is the one who has created you. And this is the greatest sin. This is the greatest sin. So that would mean and sins are prohibited. And they're impermissible. The one who falls into a prohibition or commits a prohibited affair, then he has fell into sin. Any transgression, transgressing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the greatest sin, meaning the greatest prohibition, is the prohibition of a shirk. And likewise, it's the most dangerous sin. And it's the most heavy sin. And it's the sin that has the greatest punishment. Also, it's the most disgusting sin. Making equals with Allah Azza wa Jal, who is perfect from every aspect with His creation, which is deficient and in need. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is in no need and He is free of errors or defects. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is perfect in His life and His names and attributes in every aspect. And to make Him equals with the creation, which is deficient from every aspect, in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its very existence. This is from the disgusting affairs of shirk. And Allah azza wa jal, He has described shirk as being dhulmun azeem. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. That verity, shirk is a tremendous oppression. Is a great, great oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned about shirk that وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. That whoever associates partners with Allah azza wa jal, then he has fabricated a great sin, or he has committed a great sin. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. That whoever associates partners with Allah azza wa jal in worship, any whatsoever, anything whatsoever, then he has clearly gone far astray, and he has gone far astray from the straight path. And the greatest sin that will not be forgiven for the one who dies on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ. That Allah, He does not forgive that sins are, that partners are set up with Him in worship. Meaning for the one who dies upon that way. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. But He forgives lesser than that to whom He wills. So this is a great affair here. The affair of associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And it happens in many ways. And it's not just prostrating before an idol or the likes like this, but rather there are many aspects of shirk, major shirk. The author, he mentioned one of the major issues here, or one that occurs most in his definition here, da'watu ghayrihi ma'ahu, that one would call on or invoke or supplicate to other than Allah, along with Allah. This is one of the most common aspects of shirk, but it's not the only way of shirk. There are other aspects. This is major shirk. There are other aspects of major shirk. Likewise, the ulama, they make a difference between the types of shirk, that there is major shirk and there's minor shirk. And the ruling between the two, and the ruling of the one who commits one or the other. And there are different rulings for each one, and for the one who commits, each one has a different ruling for him. Now in this life and in the hereafter. So the ulama have clarified that there is a shirk al-akbar, and then there is also a shirk al-asgar. So there's major shirk. This is what the author is referring to here, in his definition here. And this is what is referred to many times in the text whenever it's mentioned generally like this, major shirk. But also there are some texts that have come when the mention of shirk has come in the text, and it's not intended the major shirk. مَنْ حَدَثَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. نعم ومن علق تميمة فقد أشرك. And these hadith like this, that whoever swore by other than Allah, then he made shirk. Or whoever hangs a charm or amulet thinking that it will protect him, and he has made shirk. And if he didn't believe that this will protect alone by itself, it would not be major shirk. And if he just took it as a means, or if he swears by other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, but he did not magnify him or love the one he's swearing by the way that he loves Allah, or magnify him the one that he's swearing by, the way that he magnifies Allah, then this will be minor shirk. But it's come in the text as shirk. So it's very important to be able to determine between the two, which one is major shirk and which one is minor shirk. Because the reality is major shirk, it causes a person to leave the deen of al-Islam. The one who falls into major shirk, then this takes him out of the religion of al-Islam, ya'adhin billah. It will take him out of the deen. This is the reality of major shirk. Even if he said, La ilaha illallah, 100 times a day, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he made major shirk with Allah azza wa jal, that statement will not benefit him until he repents. And if he did not repent before he died, that statement will not benefit him. As for the one who commits minor shirk, then it doesn't take him out of Islam. It doesn't take him out of Islam. And likewise, the one who commits major shirk, then all of his deeds have been invalidated. لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكُ. Allah, He mentioned about it, that all of the deeds, your deeds will be invalidated. The one who commits major shirk, all of his deeds have been invalidated. Everything. Somebody, he has a life. And we see that many of the Muslims have been tried by this. He has a life of ibadah and worship. A lifetime. Maybe he's in the end of his life, in the 80s or older. And we see them in Medina like this. And they have a lifetime of worship. And then they come to Medina and they make shirk with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of that is finished. All of that is finished if he did not repent. So it's a very dangerous affair. As for the one who made minor shirk, then it does not invalidate all of his deeds. It's very important to distinguish between the two types of shirk and also the rulings related to them. So the one who committed minor shirk, it would not invalidate all of the deeds. Rather, only the deed that he committed minor shirk in. This is the one that will be invalidated. and that would be rejected. As for the rest of his deeds that he did sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then they would remain. Also, the one who commits major shirk, if he died upon that, iyadhan billah, then he will never enter the paradise. And he will never exit from the hellfire. They're the ones that are referred to in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يُرِدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا, that they want to get out, and they will never get out. عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَدٌ مُمَدَّدَ. They have, they're blocked. They, in the fire, there's عُمُود. They have عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدٍ أَحْسَنْتَ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. They're in the fire, the blazing fire, and they're trapped in there. They can't come out. They want to come out, but they cannot come out. They would wish to come out, but they cannot come out. Even it's been mentioned that the blazing fire, عِيَاذٍ بِاللَّهِ, it has different levels. It has different levels. Some of them are very, very hot, and other levels are very, very cold. زَمْهَرِير عِيَاذٍ بِاللَّهِ. And it's mentioned, some of the Salaf had mentioned, been narrated the issues of this, that one would be tried in the fire, the cold, the burning cold, that he would wish he would go into the fire. To be relieved from that burning cold, he would want to go to the fire. He come from the fire, he go to the burning cold. He want to get out of the burning cold. It's so fierce, scorching his bones, the coldness. And that he would prefer to go back into the flames. Ayyadan billah. This is for the one that he died upon major shirk. He died upon major shirk. He will not come out of the fire. As for the one who was upon minor shirk, if he died upon minor shirk, the ulama have differed about his issue. But what is correct, and Allah knows best, that there will be muwazana, that his minor shirk will not be forgiven. Because Allah, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. So he will be taken account for that. And this is included in the minor shirk and the major shirk. Allah does not forgive that shirk is committed with him. Some of the ulama, they mentioned this even includes minor shirk. But the issue will be if he died upon minor shirk and he's still a Muslim. So he has the promise of entering paradise. And whenever he is purified, either by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla or by the fire, that this person, he will have the minor shirk will be weighed up with his deeds. If his deeds outweigh the minor shirk, then they will be forgiven for this. If not, he will be purified from that. If not, he will be purified from that. So this is something that there will be account for. That this is something that there will be account for. In any case, it's very dangerous. So the difference between the two, that major shirk, it takes one out of Islam. And minor shirk, it does not take one out of Islam. Naam, and major shirk, it invalidates all of the deeds. And minor shirk, it only invalidates the deed that was performed with this minor shirk. Naam, and also the one who commits it, he will be in the fire for, the one who commits major shirk, he will never leave the hellfire. He will never enter paradise. As for the other one who committed minor shirk and he died upon that, then he will be his destination. He's still a Muslim. So he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that everyone who dies and they testified that there is La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, he has the promise of the paradise. But he will be held accountable for his actions. Naam, he will be held accountable for his actions. There was one more issue. The difference between the two.
Between the minor shirk and major shirk?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Takes him out of Islam. His deeds will never be... And plus, he will never have mercy. He will never be forgiven. Naam, he will never be forgiven. The one who any that goes along with any the reason why he'll be in the fire forever. There's no forgiveness for that. In Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bi. And the major, he will never be pardoned for that. Naam. Ayyadhan billah. So it's a very dangerous affair. So the ulama, they define these issues, and we learn the definition so that we know it, that it helps whenever something is defined and it helps you to see it clearly. So some of the definitions of these terms are different according to different ulama, but one of the clear definitions the ulama they mentioned, taswiya to ghayri lahi billahi fima huwa min khasa'isillah, taswiya. So they say a shirk is a taswiya to make equals, and this is from the linguistic aspect, a taswiya. And like, for example, we study in the Arabic language that there are some words that we call them mushtarika. بين المذكر والمؤنث. يعني they share this one word, it can be مذكر or مؤنث. يعني اللفظان يستويان مشتركان. يعني في التذكير والتأنيث. يعني that's from that linguistic aspect. يعني المشاركة they share between that, meaning they're equal with regards to being feminine or masculine. يعني there are words like that. Also the one who is a partner, who takes a partner in a business, in a sharika, they have their partners and they're equal in rights in the business. So the issue here, the meaning of shirk, linguistically, at taswiyah, to make equals. And he like this, and even Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned in the first verse of Surah Al-An'am. Who knows that verse? Alhamdulillah alladhi خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كافروا بربهم يعدلون يعني يسوون يعدلون. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and the one who created the night and the day, or the darkness and the light. And then after that, those who disbelieve, they make equals with Allah Azza wa Jal. They make equals with Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who disbelieve, ثم الذين كافروا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ يعني يُسَوُونَ. They make equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it's been mentioned about those people in the fire, that what they will say, they will have regret. Allah mentioned about those mushrikun and those disbelievers who made shirk with Allah azza wa jalla, what they will say in the fire whenever they are having regret and remorse. And they say to Allah, إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That verily they will say to themselves in regret, حَيَاذٍ بِلَا, that verily we were in clear misguidance whenever we used to make you, speaking to their idols that they worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Whenever we made you equals with the Lord of the worlds, with the Lord of the worlds. So this is a disgusting sin, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-musawwir, the one who gave everything its shape and its form, the one who provided everything its life and gave everything its shape and its form, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is alive and he never dies, the one who does not eat, rather he feeds and he does not eat, he needs nothing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything needs him, as-samad, al-ahad, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make him equals with the creation that he created and that he provides for and that he sustains, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the disgusting aspects of a shirk. So the ulama, they mention that shirk, yani in the deen, yani shar'an, taswiyatu ghayri Allahi billah, to make equals with other than Allah with Allah, fima huwa min khasa'is Allah, from the things that are from the specific qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal, in his rububiyyah, or in his uluhiyyah, his right to be worshipped, or in his asma'i wa sifat, to make equals with Allah Azza wa Jal in these affairs, this is considered shirk, to make equals, the creation equal with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is considered shirk. Another meaning the ulama they mention is a more general meaning and easier to understand possibly. And the ulama they say, صَرْفُ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ صَرْفُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. This one is very clear to understand. It is to direct anything from the actions of worship to other than Allah. And that's the meaning, to make equals with Allah Azza wa Jalla, something that's from his specific qualities. That means to direct anything from the acts of worship, that means the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to direct it to other than Allah, whatsoever it may be. صَرْفُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ عَلْعِبَادَةِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. To direct anything from the actions of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the aspect of the word shirk. And the ulama, they mention shirk, yani lughatan ismun lishay alladhi yakunu bayna akthar min wahid. Ismun ash-shirk, ma ma'na ash-shirk, yani lughatan ismun lishay yakunu bayna akthar min wahid, yani is shirk, is an association, a partnership, or something that would be between more than one person. There's partners there. Nam, even in the linguistic aspect, we see that Musa he made dua to ask to have a partner in his affair. Huh? Rabbi, whenever he made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli waj'al li wazira min ahli Harun akhi ashrikhu fi What is after this? And until that he says Subhanahu wa Taala on the, and he mentioning Musa, Ashrikhu fi amri, Ashrikhu fi amri. Nam, and make him a partner, make him a partner for me. Yani in the dawah, in the call, in prophethood, Ashrikhu fi amri. This is the linguistic meaning. This is the linguistic meaning of shirk. Yani to be a partner, to share. So to have a partnership in the dunya and the affairs of the dunya, this is permissible. But to have partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, this is not permissible. This is the issue here. This is the issue here. That this is a major sin. And this is the greatest punishment. And this is the most disgusting sin. And the point is here now, that major shirk, it is, it returns all aspects of major shirk. The ulama, they mentioned that it returns back to four major points, or four major types. And major shirk, it occurs in many ways. We've seen in the previous text, the author, we've seen in Al-Qawa'id al-Arba, the author, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he described a shirk as being a shabaka. A shabaka, it has webs, it has different aspects. So it's not all one aspect. But the ulama, they mentioned that all the aspects of major shirk, they go back to four major points, or four major issues. So the first one is, and is the one that the author, he has defined, is shirkun fi du'a, in supplication. To associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in supplication, in invocation, in du'a, in calling on someone besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, yani in prayer, calling on Him with hope and with fear, calling on Him, yani someone who is dead or someone who is absent, or someone, or calling on somebody for aid and assistance, and only something that Allah can do. This is called shirk du'a. And this is what the author, he has defined here. He said, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ الشِّرْكُ وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ. This is the aspect that the author is referring to here, because this is what was very common in his time particularly, that the people were tried with. Likewise in the Ummah of Muhammad, this is a very common type of shirk that people are tried with, calling on and supplicating to the dead, and to the mashaykh that they believe can aid them and support them, even if they're not with them or in another land or they're absent from them. This has been a great trial for the ummah. So the author, he is referring to this here. But also there is another type of shirk that ulama, they mentioned. That was the first type. There's also what they call shirku niyyah. Shirku and niyyah. Wal-iradati wal-qast. Shirkun fi niyyah wal-iradati wal-qast. And this is the shirk that happens in the intention. Inshallah, we'll look at each one of them separately. I'll just mention the four types now. Any one after the other. The first one is shirkun fi du'a. Supplication, invocation. The second one is a shirk that occurs in the intention. The intention, what does he want from his deeds? What does he want from his deeds? There's a shirk, that shirk can occur there. And the intention in the heart of a person, what he intends from his actions. Naam, and then the other type, the third type, the ulama, they mentioned shirk wa ta'ah, the shirk of obedience. The shirk of obedience. And then the fourth one, shirk al-muhabba, shirk al-muhabba. And this is to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in love. In love. So these are the four major types of major shirk. The four types of major shirk. Naam, the first one, shirk du'a. Naam, and this is whenever a person, he will call on other than Allah and invoke Him. He will call on Him and hope in Him and hope for His aid and support and His help. And he making isti'ana or istighatha. Naam, like this, calling on Him, invoking Him and calling on Him from the dead. Or from somebody who is absent, or calling on somebody and supplicating to them to do something for them only Allah can do. Whether it's a person, or even if it was a tree, or an angel, or a grave, or whatever the case may be. Calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is major shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about that, those mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِيذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فِيذَا نَجَّهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. And whenever they were on the ship and it became dangerous, they would call on Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he would dua, making their dua sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever he saved them to the land, then what do? They start making shirk. In what? In dua. Because before they're making shirk in dua, then they're in a tough situation, they make ikhlas in dua. دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فِيذَا نَجَّهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Whenever Allah saved them back to the land, they begin to make shirk again. Yani in their dua. Namj, and it is known that this is from the greatest aspects of worship, and likewise a shirk in that is from the greatest aspects of shirk. Right as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the author he will mention, الدعاء هو العبادة. الدعاء هو العبادة. The reality of du'a, it is the reality of ibadah, calling on and invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one is clear. This is something clear, and the people are aware of this. But the second one maybe not be so clear, or maybe something that may be in the back of a mind of an individual, but he should bring it to the front of his mind and should be aware of it and be afraid of it. And these types of major shirk, we can understand also that this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's making dua not to be like this, is to save him from worshipping asnam, or to save him and his children from worshipping idols and from falling into shirk and the likes like this. All of these types of shirk will be included, that we have to be afraid of. We have to be afraid of not only calling on a stone or an idol, but also falling into this here. And this is very dangerous, the second type, shirku and niyyah, what iradati, what qasd. And this is the shirk of the intention and what one desires and he wants from his actions. And this is that a person, he would do an act of worship from the very beginning, only showing off. That's why it's very important likewise to see whenever the ulama, they define, we will discuss inshallah also the shirk al-asgar. They would say, for example, an example of a shirk al-asgar, yasir al-riya, yakuluna yasir al-riya, light showing off. From the minor shirk, the ulama, they don't say riya, they just make it like this. Yasir riya. Ibn Qayyim, he make a difference. Rahimahullah, light showing off. Light, there's a difference between showing off lightly in ibadah and then showing off from the not lightly. So here, this is what is referred to. This is making shirk in the intention that he will from the very beginning. Like for example, salat. From the very beginning, he made everything he did in his salat from takbir, Allahu Akbar, only to show off. Only to show off. He only to show off, to be seen by the people from the very beginning. Allahu Akbar, like this, all he wants is to see, to be seen from the people. From the very beginning. Or whatever the action it is, from the very beginning. This is shirk in the intention. He's doing this act of worship that is from the min khasa'isillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the specific qualities. This is ibadah, or sarfu shay'in min al-ibadah li ghayrillah. And from the very beginning, he did not stand except to be seen by the people. He did not say Allahu Akbar and recite Fatiha, all of this, except he wants to be praised by the people, or to have a status or rank with the people. This right here, the ulama, they call it shirk al-irada, or shirk al-niyyah. This is very dangerous. And the ulama, they mentioned that this would not happen from a believer. The shirk that is yasir, that's considered minor shirk, this is the one that comes during the ibadah. During the ibadah. He stands for the sake of Allah, he makes Allah, he says takbir, he's only worshipping Allah, and then somebody comes in, and then he decorates his salat for him, like this. This is the one that's considered yasir. Yasir riya. This is the one that has a different ruling likewise. As for the one, he did it from the very beginning, only wanting to be seen. This is very dangerous situation. This falls under this category here. Likewise, the ulama also mentioned, or the one to finish the ibadah. Even if he finished the ibadah, this is also becoming in a very dangerous situation. If he were to start the ibadah for the sake of Allah, and he finished it for somebody else, and the deed will be completely wiped out. This is very dangerous. Likewise, could fall into this major type of shirk. The riya, that is yasir, this is whenever the person, he starts the ibadah for the sake of Allah, and then he shows off, and then he fixes himself, and during his ibadah, أعوذ بالله استغفر الله, and he completes it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The ulama, they mentioned this one, inshallah, will not harm him. And this one is in jihad. Like this, but as for the one who he starts for the sake of Allah, and then in the end, something happens and he starts showing off all the way to the end, hoping that somebody will see him, all the way to he make tasneem. Like this whole deed is finished. He has to start over. The whole deed is finished. He has to start over. Because he finished the ibadah for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So it has to start and finish for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the light showing off, this is one that comes during ibadah. Not from the beginning of ibadah. From the beginning of ibadah, this is what the ulama, they mentioned here, shirkun niyyah. shirkun niyya, or that they do it to show off, or they do their deed any for either to have praise from the people, or to have position or rank, or to get something from the affairs of the dunya. And the ulama, they mention in this issue here a verse that is something that whenever a person he reads it, he should it would frighten him. It will frighten him. And if these are, there's some verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah, He threatens the people, and they will frighten a believer that he will fall into that. Allah, He says, "Man kana yuridu al-hayat al-dunya wa zinataha, nuwaffi ilayhim a'maluhum fiha wa hum fiha la yubkhasun." He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those who intend the worldly life and its adornment, we will give them their deeds properly in this life, and they will not be shortened. And if the ulama, they mention this here, those who do deeds of ibadah, deeds of the hereafter, but they want the dunya They do deeds of the hereafter. They're doing acts of worship, but they want by way of those acts of worship the dunya. This is their intention. This is why they do them. This is why he teach. This is why he learn. This is why he recite. This is why he pray. Whatever the case, he wants the dunya. That's why he does it. He wants the dunya. Naam? So Allah, He mentioned about them that those people who desire this life and its adornment, then we will provide for them and their deeds. We will recompense them their deeds in this life. And they will not be shortened. Meaning they're doing actions of worship. So they're going to be recompensed for their deeds of worship. But what do they want from those actions? They want innama al-amalu bi an-niyyat. This, so they're gonna get with Allah. He says, we're gonna give them what they want in this life. In this life, similarly, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first of those to be set in the blazing fire. It will be said, the one who learned and then he taught. He said, why did you learn and teach? He said, for your sake. He said, kadabta, you lied. Innama liyuqala alim wa qad qil. So that you will be said alim, askara, or qari, or reciter, and it was said, or the other one who gave wealth, jawad, or qad qil, and what you wanted, it happened in the dunya. You did it for this reason, like right here in this verse, nuwafi ilayhim amaluhum fiha, wa hum fiha la yubkhasun. They will not be shortened, they will get their reward. Alim, mashallah, qari, reciter, mashallah, jawad, Korean, very noble, mashallah, like this. But here, then the next verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about them, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. These are the ones, they don't have anything in the hereafter except for the fire. They get their deeds in this life. يَهْذِن بِاللَّهِ. They'll get recompense for the deeds of the hereafter in this life. Well, and these are the ones that in the hereafter, they have nothing but the fire. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِنُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And everything that they used to do will be invalidated. And it will not be accepted. It will be rejected. All of the deeds that they used to do. يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعًا. They think they're doing good deeds. But because of this foul intention, that's why it's very important. This remind me of a statement of Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. He died in the year 132. Rahimahullah, he would say, تَعَلَّمُوا النِّيَّةِ تَعَلَّمُوا النِّيَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا أَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. Because it's more serious than, you have to learn the intention. Learn the intention. There's things to learn about the intention. You have to learn it. How to make it good. How can it be corrupted? What are the aspects that could cause it to be deficient? Learn how to purify it. Learn how to clean it. If something comes to it, it becomes stained or tainted. How to fix it? How to rectify it? How to purify it? Now you have to learn the niyyah, because verily it is more severe than and more serious than the action itself. Than the action itself. So here, this is with regards to shirk and niyyah. Shirk and niyyah. So a believer, he will always have to purify his intention. Purify his intention. The Salaf, they would mention that one of them would say in fi hadith and wahid lahu niyat adida, that he would narrate one hadith and he would have many intentions. Because he would start for the sake of Allah narrating, and then somebody would come, or then he would be narrating very well, and he would yet ta'ajjab and find his memorization to be great, or find the people paying attention to him, and then he will change, and then he'll have another niyyah and have to rectify himself. So in one deed, he's fighting his soul to have a good intention over and over. And then also the Salaf, they used to mention that he would try to fight riya, showing off, and this intention here, and this foul intention, shirk in the niyyah, and he would fight it from one aspect, and it would grow on his heart in another way. He would say that he would remove it from his heart, and then it would grow back in another form. So he would, maybe somebody, for example, he's tried with riya in salat. He'll fight and fight and fight. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave him success, he removed it. Now it grows, now he's showed off in reciting the Quran. Well, he'll fight not to be in this, and then the next thing it grows, it comes in another form, charity. Or it comes in another form, memorizing hadith. Or it comes in another form. So it doesn't stop. And that person, he will continue to fight his soul, and to purify his soul, and to purify his intention, and to purify his actions, and to do them sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah lillahi ddinul khalis. Naam, this is as-safi al-naqi, the one that is pure. This is the one that Allah Azza wa Jal, he loves and he accepts. As for the one that has partners with it, then Allah, he rejects that and he does not accept it. أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ إِنَ الشِّرْكِ فَمَنْ عَمِلَ أَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَ. The hadith al-Qudsi by hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu fi Sahih Muslim. Naam, so this is the case here. This is a very dangerous issue. A believer, he will check himself and take himself to account. Take himself to account. And from taking himself to account, the ulama, they mentioned that the nafs, and he is like, I think I mentioned before, it's like a sharik al-shahih. It's like a greedy business partner. If somebody is doing business with somebody in the dunya, he's got a business going on, making wealth, making big money, but he knows that his partner is greedy. He knows from experience that his partner is greedy. So what does he do? If he leaves him, what would happen? He's going to get him. If he doesn't check every receipt, he's going to have to be on him. If he doesn't, the one who's greedy, if you let him go without any observance, without any, you don't have to check and see what he's doing, you don't have to look at any receipts, nothing like that, he's going to get some of the money. This is what greed does. And the one who is greedy, that's what would happen. So the one who has a greedy partner, he's always having to check him, check up his work, and check up the receipts, and look at into the bank, and the drop, and the what came in, and everything like this. The ulama, they mentioned, like, this is the soul. This is how a person, he will take his soul to account. If a person, he didn't take his soul to account, it's just going to go. If a person didn't check his niyyah like this, his niyyah is just going to go and want the dunya, and try to get the dunya, and try to have status and rank, or whatever the case may be, and fall into sin, and so on and so forth. So the intention and the soul, it requires muhasabah. It requires muhasabah and accountability. In this manner, a person, and also seeking the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal, and begging Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to help him, that he can free his intention and purify his deen for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, as a favor from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and a mercy. There's a dua the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned, if one of you, he sees or finds that his heart is wanting to make shirk, yani this minor shirk like this, that he has his heart, he finds his heart hoping for the praise of the people, or leaning towards some affairs of the dunya and his actions of worship. There's a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that if he said this dua, then Allah will take away major shirk and minor shirk, all of the shirk will go away. Who knows that dua? Anushrika bika. Aywa, there's a couple of wording. Now, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa na'alam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamu. Also another wording. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you that I would make shirk with you while I know. That I would associate any partners with you while I know, and I seek forgiveness for you for what I don't know. I seek forgiveness from you for what I don't know. A believer, he will memorize this and make this if he finds, because Shaitan is not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us. And the time whenever he comes is whenever a person, he starts really advancing on Allah Azza wa Jalla and devoting himself. And it really affects the worshippers and also the students and the people who are involved in the ibadah. And especially if the ibadah is very beneficial. Especially if the ibadah is very beneficial for that person and for others. And then the shaitan, he will really try to destroy that person's intention, because and this is the way to destroy his deed. And if he can destroy the intention, then the deed is finished, as we have seen. Now, so then whenever a person, he finds this coming to him, then he will say that, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa na'alam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. And this is something we will teach our children, and then we will learn and we will say it. And likewise, the ulama, they mentioned that from the understanding of that dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbu junubani wa baniya na'budu al-asnam, that we should be afraid. If Ibrahim alayhi salam was afraid of shirk for him and his children, then how about us and our children? And if that's the case for Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman alayhi salatu wa salam, he's afraid for him and his family to fall into shirk, then what about us and our families? We should be afraid likewise. So from the means of doing that, and you know, from the meaning of being afraid of shirk, is to learn what is shirk. Somebody might say, "Oh, are you afraid of shirk?" "I'm afraid of shirk." "What is shirk?" "Madri." He's not afraid of shirk. If we're afraid of something, you're going to know what it is. If you're afraid of something, you're going to know what it is, so that you can stay away from it. So from the reality of being afraid of shirk is to learn it and to know it and to be able to identify it and to differentiate between the types of it, in order for one to stay away from it, because he's afraid of it. Somebody's really afraid of it. What is that? I don't want it to come over here. I don't want it coming in here. I mean, many people that are involved in shirk, and they don't know it. Now, so then from the means of the reality of being afraid of shirk is to learn it. Also to search for it, and to look for it, and to make taftish for it, and in order to know it, to search for it. Okay, what is it? What is the reality of shirk? Where is it at? So I can stay away from it. So I can stay away from it, so I can avoid it. Also, from the meaning of being afraid of shirk is to make dua and to beg Allah Azza wa Jalla not to try you with it. To beg to, and from that dua is this dua. Now to beg Allah Azza wa Jalla to supplicate to Him and to call on Him to save you and your family from shirk. To save you and your family from shirk. It's in the hands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The third type that the ulama they mentioned, shirk al-ta'ah. This is shirk in obedience. This is shirk in obedience. And this is whenever somebody, he takes a legislator other than Allah Azza wa Jal, and besides Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, legislating in the deen halal and haram, and he will obey him in that. But this is whenever a person, he knows the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal. He knows that Allah, He made this issue halal. He knows that, with no doubt and no shubha. And then somebody else said it's haram, and he believed him in that. After knowing that it's halal, and knowing that Allah has made it halal, and then somebody else from the mashayikh will say that it's haram. And he was the so-called mashayikh, huh? And they will say that it's haram from the people. And then he will follow him in that. Or somebody will say that it's haram. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He would declare that it's haram. He's legislated that it's haram. And then somebody would come along and say that it's halal. No, it's halal. And a person, he knows it's haram. And he knows Allah made it haram. And then he followed, and he obeyed the man, an individual over that, knowing that it's haram, and then claiming that it's halal. They call this istihlal. So there's a difference, the ulama, and this is a very detailed point here. And also the importance of learning the niyyah again. And that there's a difference between somebody who disobeys Allah. He knows it's haram and he does it anyways. He knows it's haram and he does it anyways. Not everybody who knows it's haram and he does it anyways, we're going to rule upon him with shirk ta'a. Oh, you're making shirk and ta'a. You're a mushrik. You're a mushrik. Your blood is permissible. Your wealth. Because there's a difference between the one who commits sin and he believes that it's haram and he knows it's haram and he does it because of a weakness in his soul. And he knows that he's sinning. And the one who commits the sin and he declares it to be permissible. Creed in his aqeedah. He believes it's permissible. He knows it's haram, but so-and-so made it halal. He believes, like somebody for the yadan billah, to believe that khamar is permissible. And he knows the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's permissible. Now it's permissible. Or to believe the riba, and he knows the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. He knows the statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then some say, riba, no, it's permissible. You Jews, halal. Hayadan billah. He said, no, it's halal. And he believed that. After knowing this is the shirk of ta'ah. This is the shirk of ta'ah. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about Bani Israel that He said about them, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله, that they took their priests and their rabbis, and they took their the أحبار, the ulama, they took their scholars and the ruhban, the ubad, the worshippers, and so their priests and their rabbis and their monks, and so they took them as lords besides Allah, أرباباً. Allah described it, arbab, and lords besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And there was a companion, his name is Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu. Whenever he heard this verse, he said, and he was from them. It's even been mentioned that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a cross on. He said, take that off.
Take that sanam off of you, or that wathan, excuse me, the wathan off of you. And he said, we didn't worship, we don't worship them. He said, meaning that he's thinking we worship dua, right? The first type, the shirk of dua. We didn't worship them. They're not making dua to them. They're not calling on them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, did they not make what halal, what Allah had made haram? And they made haram what Allah made halal, and you followed them in that? He said, yeah, we did that. He said, وَهَذِي إِبَادَتُهُمْ. This is their ibadah. This is their ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described that as being ibadah. So he mentioned that then this is how they took lords besides Allah azza wa jal, and declaring something to be halal that Allah has made haram. To believe that is very dangerous. Only Allah azza wa jal, He is the one who decrees something to be halal. Not with the shubha. Some people, maybe they fall into a shubha. They have a misunderstanding of verses. Likewise, this person would have an excuse. As for the one, he knows it's halal, and then he declares it haram anyways. Like this, or he follows the person like that, based upon clear knowledge. And then he followed that person in that. This is the one that has that has fallen into the shirk. This is the one who has fallen into the shirk. The fourth type is shirk al-mahabba. Shirk al-mahabba. So the fourth issue with regards to major shirk, the type, these are just four forms of major shirk. And all of the other types, they return back to these issues. The way that they occur, and the likes like this, they return back. So these are basically the ulama, they mention usul shirk, how it occurs. And the fourth one, the ulama, they mention shirk al-mahabba. Shirk al-mahabba, the shirk in love. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about this. And this also regards whenever a person he loves the something so much, it will cause him to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla and to obey it. And this is from that aspect. But whenever this is the shirk of the mushrikeen, that they loved and they venerated and they honored their idols in a manner that they loved Allah Azza wa Jalla and their false gods, and the manner that they loved Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is can become major shirk. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about them, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كُحُبِّ اللَّهِ. That from mankind there are those who take rivals, andad, any peers, partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in worship, and they love them the way that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. They love them the way they love Allah Azza wa Jal. So they mentioned, the ulama, they mentioned that this type here, this is shirk in love. And they love their idols the way they love Allah or more. And the way they love Allah or more, they respect them and they venerate them and they honor them. And even we have seen it can come to the extent, and I've mentioned before, that a person could magnify in his heart someone other than Allah Azza wa Jal, to the extent that he will not swear truthfully except by, like, he will, for example, he will lie and swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, but by his wali, he will only swear truthfully. If he's lying and they tell him, swear by Allah, if he's mentioned it, to swear by Allah, he won't swear. He'll swear, wallahi. He said, swear by the wali. He will never do it. Oh, he'll be afraid because of his fear and his love and reverence for his wali and his God. And he, like this. And so this is very dangerous likewise. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the person who is a slave of wealth and a slave of clothing and fashion. And because they have loved it so much that they have preferred it over the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this can also, could be a minor shirk. And in reality, Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that every action of disobedience is a type of shirk. Because it's giving obedience is a type of shirk. It's giving obedience and giving preference to the command of the desires over the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the command of obedience to shaitan and the desires over the obedience of Allah. So it's a type of shirk, a type of shirk that occurs here in a general sense, and not major shirk, but it's something that a believer will ponder over and be afraid of. Ponder over and be afraid of. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. When from mankind there are those who take rivals along with Allah, and they love them the way that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. What the ulama, they mention likewise, barakallahu fikum jami'an, about the idol worshippers in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mentioned the verse earlier that they say, whenever they say, they're in remorse and they're in regret, and they speak to their idols and they say, tallahi in kunna la fi dalalin mubin, إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They say, wallahi, we were in severe, clear misguidance whenever we made you equals with the Lord of the worlds. Whenever we made you equal with the Lord of the worlds. And we know the creed of the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did they make them equals with the fact that their idols create or sustain or provide or bring life or bring death? Or they didn't make taswiyah with this issue. The taswiyah that they made is here, and with love. They love them. They love their idols. إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ أَيْ فِي الْحُبِّ وَتَعْذِيمِ. فِي الْحُبِّ وَتَعْذِيمِ. In love and veneration and magnification. And the ulama, they mentioned about that. So this is how they made equals with Allah Azza wa Jalla, by loving their idols and their gods, their false gods, besides Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And also, this is, as we've seen, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned their people who love and their wealth, and until they become a slave, as if they're a slave for their wealth. Naam, and this is a very dangerous issue. Naam, and could also go to that other type of shirk, whenever a person now, he only does what he does for a position or for status or wealth in this life. Ya'adhin billah. So to summarize the four types of major shirk, what are they?
Al-du'a,
al-niyya,
al-ta'a,
al-mahabba. In English? Supplication, intention, obedience, and in love. And in love. Naam. The one that the author he defined in the treatise we're studying? The first one, ad-du'a. وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ. As for minor shirk, then the ulama, they have also mentioned different definitions from them, is that anything that Allah has mentioned that it's He has called it shirk, or it has come in the text, in the Quran or in the Sunnah, that it's been mentioned that it's shirk, but it did not reach the level of associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, like swearing by other than Allah. Now, like swearing by other than Allah. Also, from the definitions or the meanings of minor shirk, is whenever somebody would take something as a means to bring about good, or prohibit them, or protect them from harm that Allah did not legislate to be a means, not in His legislation nor in His decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we have seen in the book of Tawheed, those people who wear bracelets or amulets as a means of protection, or as a means to remove harm or disease, that Allah, He did not legislate this, not in the decree, legislative decree, nor in His in His deen is it legislated for these things to bring about benefit. For these things to bring about benefits. So this is considered minor shirk, because he has taken something as a means that Allah did not decree to be a means. This is minor shirk. This is minor shirk. Also, from the examples of minor shirk, the ulama, they mentioned yasir ar-riya. Yasir ar-riya, light, showing off. We've seen the difference between the meaning of that, right? When does this showing off occur that's considered minor shirk? In the middle and during athna al-ibadah, during the worship. Tayyib, if it occurred to somebody, as for if showing off occurred from the very beginning of the worship, what's that? The deed is finished. This will not occur from a believer, inshallah. This will not occur from a believer, that he would stand and worship and make takbir only to be seen by the people, no other intention whatsoever. That he would begin from the very beginning reciting the Quran only to be seen by the people. He doesn't want anything else except for the dunya. This will not happen from a believer. The riyah that the believers are tried with is the one that comes during the worship. Taib, if it comes during the worship and then and he falls into it all the way to the end, what happens to the deed? What does he need to do? He needs to do it over. He needs to do it over. That one is finished. The deed is finished entirely. The deed is finished entirely. Taib, if it comes in the middle and then he falls into it and then he checks himself. A'udhu bin astaghfirullah. And he finishes upon tawheed. What happens to the deed? Inshallah, his deed is accepted. His deed is fine. His deed is fine. Naam. Allahumma barik. Anybody who would like to read the detail about this issue of riyah and the situation in riyah, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a lot of details about this in the first hadith of the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi in his work that's called Jami' Al-Ulum al-Hikam. Naam, Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam by Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala. Naam. Okay, we mentioned that there were differences between major shirk and minor shirk. Who can remember them? Quickly. Major shirk takes you out of the deen. Minor shirk? Doesn't. Quickly. This ruins the deed, invalidates the deed. Nah, entirely. All of the deeds. Nah, we'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam.